For those of you who were not here yesterday, we are continuing our reflections on Pope St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body. We are in part two, where the Pope Saint focuses on the great sacrament of marriage. John Paul II dons the armor of the defender of the bond of marriage by reflecting deeply on St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Indeed, Ephesians even ends with an exhortation to put on the armor of God. And therefore, we should all defend the great goods of the gospel. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, "Therefore, take the whole armor of God, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace, besides all these, taking the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." St. John Paul II touches on this knight's errand, observing this. We should add that the whole letter to the Ephesians ends with a stupendous encouragement to spiritual battle. That appeal for spiritual battle seems to be logically based on the argumentation of the whole letter. It is, so to speak, the explicit point of arrival of its main guiding lines. Hence, we might picture our Pope Saint as a knight in shining armor, defending the bond of marriage, a damsel in distress. Isn't marriage today hemmed in by enemies approaching from all sides? The Holy Father is positively effusive about the whole letter to the Ephesians, but he especially dotes on chapter 5. You know how all brides want chapter 5 of Ephesians read at their wedding, where it says, "Wives, be submissive to your husbands." But if brides really studied Ephesians, they would agree with John Paul, who lavishes it with compliments like, "The crowning of the themes and truths that ebb and flow like long waves through the Word of God." And "that stupendous page," or "an utterly unique eloquence," and "the splendid formulation of Ephesians," and so forth. But John Paul also urges us not to forget the ground we have previously covered in our long walk with Jesus, and how the Master taught us to speak this lexicon of love. That is, we will not be able to adequately appreciate or accurately assess Ephesians until we demonstrate fluency in speaking the three words of Christ from part one. Thus, the Pope reminds us, what is contained in the passage of Ephesians is the crowning, as it were, of these three other comprehensive key words of Christ. He goes on, "Since the theology of the body emerged from them in their evangelical," meaning gospel, "outline, simple and at the same time fundamental, we must in some sense presuppose this theology in interpreting the passage from Ephesians just quoted." In other words, only if we can utter these three words in conversing with Christ from part one, will we be able to discover the deepest meaning of marriage in part two. And finally, agree with John Paul that marriage is the sacrament. If you had to pick which one of the seven sacraments, baptism, confirmation, confession, Eucharist, holy orders, marriage, or anointing of the sick. Which one is the greatest and most glorious? Which one would you pick? Well, if we asked the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it would resoundingly answer, the Eucharist is the source and summit of Christian life. The other sacraments, indeed all ecclesiastical ministries and works of the apostolate, are bound up with the Eucharist and are oriented toward it. For in the Blessed Eucharist is contained the whole spiritual good of the Church, namely Christ Himself, our Pasch. Put colloquially, we might say it doesn't get any better sacramentally than the Eucharist. And John Paul would agree with a hearty amen. And yet, he would also insist that there is something primordial, even preeminent, about the sacrament of marriage. So how do we square the sublimity of the holy marriage with the superiority of Holy Mass? Well, think of the Eucharist as the apex and peak of the Christian life, the sacramental summit, while marriage is the enormous mountain which shoulders the Eucharist on its pinnacle. Paraphrasing the scientist Isaac Newton, who said, if the Eucharist has seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of the giant of marriage. John Paul articulates a similar role for marriage in relation to the Eucharist in this dense passage. Listen. One can say that the visible sign of marriage in the beginning, the two become one flesh in Genesis 2:24. Inasmuch as it is linked to the visible sign of Christ and the Church on the summit of God's saving economy, the Eucharistic summit, where Christ becomes one flesh with his bride, the Church, transposes the eternal plan of love of the Trinity into the historical dimension and makes marriage the foundation of the whole sacramental order. In other words, marriage is the sacramental Mount Everest that allows the whole world, indeed the whole cosmos, to admire and adore the Eucharist perched on its peak. In every long walk, the road eventually begins to rise and often leads up a mountain. I remember visiting Ireland with then Father, now Bishop, Eric Pollmeyer. We were planning to climb the famous Crow Mountain of St. Patrick. An Irish farmer, a father, and his son were working at the base of the mountain, and we stopped briefly to talk with them and get our bearings. The teenage son kept complaining about how hard the climb was going to be, and he predicted that frequently the weather at the top was often turbulent. The father scolded his son, saying, "Now don't knock the piss out of him." It's okay to say that this was an Irish church originally. Well, I hope not to knock the piss out of you as we begin to ascend the mighty Mount Everest called marriage, which is far steeper and can be stormier than Crow Mountain. In Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, Gandalf led that bunch of guys going for a long walk over the misty mountains through the pass of Caradhras, which was also steep and stormy and treacherous to travelers. Frustrated in their attempts to go over it, the Fellowship of the Ring detours to go through the mountain, delving into tunnels dug by the dwarves. This twofold path, first over and then second through the mountain, will outline our own itinerary for this mile of our walk with Jesus. First, we will attempt to ascend the Mount Everest of marriage exteriorly by scaling its face over four different passes. And then secondly, we will go spelunking interiorly through three deep tunnels. That is, besides being a defensor vinculi, a knight in shining armor, John Paul the Great will also serve as our Sherpa, showing us the best routes over and through the great Mount Everest of marriage. I hope you like to go hiking. Praise be to Jesus Christ.